RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Back to pass, pressure coming, and he's sacked by Jalen Carter, who just whipped Osiris Torrance one-on-one at the line of scrimmage. Nobody open, looking for somebody, pressure coming, steps up in the pocket, running to his left, now doubles back right, still nobody open, trying to get away, and he's sacked for a horrible loss at the 48-yard line that takes them out of field goal range. Bills are lined up for the Catholic Health extra point. Catholic Health, the right way to care, and it's blocked! The kick is blocked.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Gilliam in motion, left to right. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Pressure coming. Allen fires to the end zone, and he misses. Allen threw it wide of the target, incomplete, and that will be the ball game.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Oh, some added value for Catholic Health there. Hi, everybody. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Every minute or so, I have a different door I want to open to start today with. I keep changing my mind. I'll let you help drive the bus here at 803-0550. Bulldog is off until Friday. There is yesterday, there is this Sunday, and that's really the stadium, but it's also incentives and what really is on the line in this game. The stadium, of course, I mean the end of the stadium. Then there's the playoffs, which is everything, or almost everything. And here we are, once again, sort of pondering what happens if it doesn't work out. Yesterday on postgame, anybody who listens carefully would have predicted that there'd be fans hot after the loss, ready to talk about big changes. And I don't know. I just, professionally, at least, I just think that that really should wait until this ends. But I don't want to ignore or, you know, be blind to that they probably have to win a playoff game or two for it to not rain fire around here, especially without the Chiefs in the picture. I think that that's the bottom line. And on one hand, I mean, I know this already, and it gives me no pleasure to sort of look at it this way, but it's just such a high standard that they have set. And I mean, that's to their credit. But when you have had all these close calls, winning division titles and then losing in the playoffs, and this thing ends in Jacksonville or even Denver, or even Foxborough, that will not sit well. That will not have been a successful season. So maybe it won't. Maybe these guys will find out a way to beat all these teams, three of them, you know, in the AFC playoffs, probably all on the road to get to that Super Bowl and maybe win there. Because the NFC is not that different. Maybe it's better. At the top, anyway. Maybe it's better, but I'm not going to worry about that so much today. What is on your mind? Have you dried off since yesterday? This game, I mean, in sort of typical Bills fashion, they're never out of it, right? I mean, that's another game where maybe you were mad or bored or both for most of the day, but they get to the two-point conversion attempt with 5 seconds left with a chance to win and really should have made the play. And then all is well, or at least in the standings. At least you're not dead in the division race. And I said last night, and I don't want this to sound like an apology for where this situation is, but maybe there is a benefit to not having to worry about New England this week. I mean, that's the best we can do, I suppose. If they'd won, then there'd be a chance of winning the AFC East. But what, you'd need Miami to go to Foxborough and win in January. I mean, okay. But if you prepare for that, you probably have to prepare to play all your guys. And what do you think? Maybe this way they won't do that. Is this a week you take off for all intents and purposes? And does it matter that it's the end of the stadium? Because that is not where we wanted this to be at this point. You know, like, what? I don't know if it'll be an anticlimax or what it'll be, but when we looked ahead to the end of this season, the schedule comes out, the Bills close with two home games, it's the Jets to end it, and, you know, they're such a heavy division favorite, any division winner gets a home game, at least one. So the plan was to have this game be more of a formality, and then it all comes down to the playoffs, and maybe they can go out on a high. Now, they could still win, but it's probably not going to be here after Sunday. And that just makes for a few different emotions, I think. Like, it's frustrating. It's a little bit sad. I don't know. I wonder how fans think the Bills should play this week. Unless there is a pretty big upset in one of three other AFC games this Sunday. The Bills are going to Jacksonville. Want to make sure everybody is aware of that. I also want to be checked on it. My family's out of town and Bulldog is off. I just sat down a few minutes ago. I'm like, I haven't talked to anybody today. So maybe I'll be a little bit rusty because usually I like to warm up. I didn't do that today. Anyway, Indianapolis at Houston. Houston's favored by 10.5. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Jacksonville favored by 11.5. Houston is in that position the Bills would have been in had they won yesterday, which is they still have a chance at the division title, so they kind of got to go for it, I think. I think I would. So they're a 10.5-point favorite, the Texans, against the Colts. That'll be maybe Riley Leonard at quarterback for Indianapolis, which has lost 6 straight. Jacksonville, a huge favorite against the Titans. Titans have their own incentives to lose, but you never know. New England is a 10.5-point favorite at home against Miami. If those three double-digit favorites all win, Texans, Jaguars, Patriots, and I suppose the Bills too, to make this right. If the Bills lose to the Jets, there could be another outcome. If they win also, and these four big favorites all win their games outright, don't need to worry about covering or anything like that, win the game, the Bills will go to Jacksonville next week, either as the 6 or the 7. That will depend on the Chargers-Broncos game. But no matter which team wins, I don't know about ties, no matter which team wins that game, it's still a Bills-Jaguars first-round game. And I talked about this a lot last night. The loss also would have kept them alive for first place, but maybe more practically speaking, they gave themselves only an outside chance at the 5, that AFC North game, which is maybe where we wanted to be. So get ready for the Jaguars, not definitely, but that point, how little the Bills have in their control toward the playoffs, might get you in the mood for, yeah, Allen's hurt anyway, sit him. He'll start the game for sure, but maybe that's it. And maybe the last game ever at the stadium ends up being, well, a lot of week 17 or 18 games have been this over the years, or even 16 when the season was only that long. Just kind of more of a preseason type atmosphere. I don't know. There's a lot to figure out. It's only Monday. 803-0550 for your thoughts. how do you feel about this team running the table? I don't mean that as a loaded question, because I don't feel great about this team running the table in the AFC. I might know only one guy that does, Sam. I'm not sure he even still does. I know he has felt that way. Whatever. Look at the other quarterbacks. I'll be fine. Maybe someone that confident is a little bit more humble about this at this point. So we've got the details yesterday. We've got the stadium finale to talk about. We've got the AFC. If it ends up being Jacksonville in the first round, I guess given what New England has done this year, can you really ask for much better? I respect Jacksonville's season. I think I'm not saying that because of their color scheme. I'm not condescending to them at all. But I think if you're a Bills team that really only has the Super Bowl left as a goal for the last 5-6 years that they've had, then they tell you to go to Jacksonville. I think, you know, okay, I can live with that. Doesn't have to be the Jaguars, but again, if there's not a shocker on Sunday, it will be. 803-0550 is the number. Let's get right to your calls. Here's Tom first. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm fine. Thanks.
My concern is the offensive line play. 14 sacks last year, and we're over 40 already. Something's going on. I don't know if it's the pre-snap calls or Josh's calls, but that's something I think it's almost like a whole game of offensive plays have gone up in sacks.
Yeah, I was thinking about this too last night and earlier today. Allen missing that throw to win the game, where does that come from? Dan Orlovsky, he's pretty popular. His term for how Allen played was out of control. And Allen isn't most famous for playing under control. Like that's not his number one trait. But I get that analysis for this game. And so how do you make sense of it? It's a big game. He's played in a lot of them. It's not the biggest, but there's that aspect of it. I just think, to the caller's point, he is taking so many hits. And a lot of these hits are highlight reel stuff. I mean, classic NFL films, big hit plays. And I didn't think any of them yesterday was even close to dirty either, like or late. I mean, it's really more just like, damn, even on a couple of plays Allen made, he took big shots. This feels like the kind of year that might be taking 3 years off his career. It is 14 sacks to 40. That's unbelievable with a game to go. And that doesn't even tell the whole story. Like I said, I mean, plays made are still plays where he is getting hit. So coming up on 30 years old, there's that to think about. I mean, I don't know what you want to do with it. Eventually the time will come and he won't be the same player. I don't think that's right around the corner, but I think the kind of physical toll and maybe also psychological toll this season has taken might be taking years off his career down the road. It is incredible. You can think of a handful of plays yesterday where it's like, wow, he's running backwards into pressure. He's, you know, the fourth down play where he gets stopped just outside the goal line. These sacks too, the big hit on the long completion. Maybe that's to Palmer or the pass interference. I don't know. I mean, there were a lot of these yesterday, and that's not even including a single designed run. I mean, the run to the goal line is a run, but that's supposed to be a pass to Cooks, who, by the way, is right wide open to his right the whole time. The pressure is on, and he's playing like he's feeling it, which, you know, is human. I think maybe we're all feeling it. Like, this is supposed to be the year. If not now, when? And it's getting late, and now they're going on the road, and it doesn't feel great. Let's go to Brad next. Hi, Brad.
Mike, you did a great job on the post game last night, and what you were just talking about highlighted one of my favorite comments from yours last night, which was Josh's emotions. You know, think about the Sabres and how they're feeling right now. They have this whole new attitude about them. And I feel like Josh you know, it's his job. He comes in every day to do his work. And I think that pressure of needing to find a way to win for this team and for the city, and when he feels like he doesn't have other people, you know, the receivers or whoever it is, I think he's just putting this huge burden onto himself. And, you know, we can talk X's and O's as much as we want, and offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, et cetera. But I think if you look at him as a human being doing a job, I think it's just really getting taxing for him. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's kind of how I feel, too. I want to make sure I get across, like, I don't know him. And so my guess about how he's feeling is as good as is worth about anybody else's. But like I put it a minute ago, I think there's evidence in his play that he's really pressing. And that can be you're running to the sideline, throw it away, get down, go to the next play, or just turn around and go backwards to the center of the field. Just like that's a play made by a player that is just not real confident in himself or his offense or just what he's going through. And then there are other plays in this game that are likewise, including the last one. So I don't want to ever sound like I'm in his head because I have no idea, but it's not great right now. And it leads people like Brad and myself and maybe a lot of you to wonder just where is his mind, you know, thinking about what the offense is. We've all talked all year about how much help he has or doesn't have on that offense. And without James Cook, I mean, imagine this being true. If it were 30 years ago, I would have easily bought it. Not now. Imagine the thought that if they can't get breakaway plays from James Cook, that they're really jammed as an offense. But that is mostly the case. And it's back to all the wide receiver angst that we've spent every day on for the better part of a couple of years, actually. The Brandon Bean, the infamous Brandon Bean, you know, hot-tempered statements he made. I don't know why I tried so hard. There are a lot of ways you could describe that. We've probably done it 50 different ways. Back after the draft, I keep hearing about that. Like, I don't walk around thinking about that. I've defended Bean to a point. I mean, he had a bad attitude that day. I've had those days. But it's really, like, he has, especially after that happened, I mean, he made a real effort to clarify his position. Like, look, no, we did this. We did A, B, and C. I just think at some point it becomes unfair. Okay, it's not like he didn't defend his position. We've been all over it. But I'm just amazed by how often fans continue to bring that up. Like, he really did himself some work with the fan base that morning. And as this season has played out, and now we're at Brandon Cooks, and for a minute we were at Mecole Hardman, who then was released, and all the other different guys the Bills have tried on at that position, and Joshua Palmer and his 21 catches going into the finale. Like, all the different players and ideas they've had, it still hasn't graduated from the look of a roster that does not have that figured out. And whenever they lose a game like this, especially when it's tight and low scoring, it just we go right back to that. And I'm not sure that's wrong. It's just kind of amazing to me how many fans just continue to bring that up. I guess now I've done it, but I'll say I'm referencing you guys, you know, having yesterday, last night in the post game, and so many different times. I said last night, with all that, you know, that topic, and as worn out as it is, not that it's, you know, it's not over yet, it's not cleared up yet. Last night, this was big with me, and I'm thinking about it again today. All the struggles that the Bills have had getting the ball down the field to receivers, it's astonishing to me that they have decided that Coleman really can't help them. For as young as he is, the talent he has, he's not complete, he's not perfect, but they're really going with Gabe Davis over Coleman. Like, they're going with guys that they've just brought in over Coleman on an offense that is struggling so much to get, you know, as they say, chunk plays. And That's not just like that he hasn't delivered in this area already. It's that the Bills, week to week, here yesterday, made the decision that he can't help them more than Davis can or than Tyrell Shavers. Like, that's kind of incredible that they have shelved Keon Coleman to this extent so early in his career with so much on the line. I don't know. This is another one where I don't want to work too hard to defend Coleman. I mean, he is what he is so far as a player. But really, like the Bills, even just for, not that this is how they would describe it or even think of it necessarily, but even just for the optics on a team that just cannot throw the ball down the field with any kind of consistency to bench Coleman and render him inactive for games, like a big game like this. I don't know if that changes. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe they've already just sort of given up on this, which it really is incredible in and of itself. So that's where I'm at with the receivers. Like, okay, well, good for Brandon Cooks. He had a day, four catches. He had a day. Like, Shakir did the Shakir thing with six catches for 35 yards. Should have had the game winner there, but the pass was way off. And after that,
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like, or even including Cooks on a couple of passes, it's just kind of like prayer shots. The one late to Cooks, it's David Tyree. He's like catching the ball against his helmet. And just, these are not the kind of plays that you can bank on when you need to win week after week after week, especially on the road where you're less likely to get calls in the playoffs. And that's a big part of what scares me about how this is going to end. We have Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mike. I'm a little bit worried about Jacksonville, to be honest. I think that they are probably the most complete team in the conference, and I don't know if it's necessarily a good matchup for us. I was really hoping against hope that Pittsburgh would take care of business and that we could get that 5 seed, and now it's kind of all turned upside down. I'm not really looking forward to that matchup, and I think one of the reasons is kind of what you just spoke to. I have no faith in the passing game, and I fight with people all the time that say we need to run the ball more, and I'm like, we ran the ball 30 times yesterday and it wasn't really that effective. Like, we've got to have some type of passing attack in order to get to Santa Clara, and I just have no confidence in Brady's scheme. I think what you're saying about Josh is true to a certain extent. I'm not exactly in his head either, but something just seems to be off with the offense. It felt a lot like the Atlanta game yesterday, and I don't know if you can go on the road and count on production with this offense. I'm just not sure. The defense has turned around, but the offense is kind of perplexing to me.
The defense is, you know, like the offense, maybe this is fair, fine at times. I don't know. Like, you can't say they didn't have a good day yesterday in the end, especially the second half. But that Philadelphia team hasn't been very good offensively for a while. Like, that's not a team that was really rolling. And, you know, you did well enough. Can't blame the defense at all for the outcome yesterday. But I was just like, last night I was hung up on how long it's been since the Bills really had an easy trip in a game. Even the Steeler game, which was their most lopsided win since maybe the bye week, which was week six or so, was a game where they had scored 3 points in the first half. Every game, there's a stretch of, what is wrong here? And that's different than the last few years. They didn't win every week over the last 5 years, but you didn't have game after game where it's like, oh, what is it now? You know, like it's just, they have not had, to say the least, an easy time of it. Tampa Bay led at Orchard Park in the fourth quarter. Cincinnati had a 10-point lead maybe in the fourth quarter. Maybe it wasn't that, but they might have. Like, they have not had an easy day of it. Cleveland was a battle. Since when? I mean, Carolina, that's week seven or something like that. That's their last kind of easy. That doesn't sound like a Super Bowl team. You know, Super Bowl teams, I guess we'll see, because maybe it will be this time, we should hope. But when they were killing it in recent years, oh, well, easy schedule. Yeah, but this is what you do with an easy schedule. You bury teams. And these guys just cannot get a game where it's just kind of chill. You know, it's every week there's something. And the stress has built. Well, it's still on, right? Jets Sunday and then the playoffs and who knows. You certainly can be optimistic. I don't think anybody's going to want to play them either. You know, whether it's Jacksonville or New England or whoever else, like, we're going to be sort of intimidated by if that's not too strong. Those teams aren't going to want to see the Bills, I think, on their first round opponent either. What do you think? 803-0550, Football Monday. Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio today. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.